There are so many toxic influences that are vying for our attention. No hazmat suit will keep you free from negative influences. We find them in our telephones, on the web, on the TV, all the things you saw there on the screen. Last week, we looked at toxic thoughts and how to deal with them from the Word of God. Today, we're going to unpack the truth from God's Word on how to deal with toxic influences. If you have your Bible, would you turn to Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1. But while you're turning there, let me read a passage from Proverbs 25. You go to Proverbs 1, if you will. But Proverbs 25, verse 26 says this, like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. Read again, like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. Listen, that's a very accurate description of toxic influences of the world. It's muddy and it's polluted. All of us can understand that. But Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, gives us a pattern to watch out for toxic influences. Let's look together. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen, stop right there. We all understand. Your mother always told you who to hang out with and who not to. They got that. They knew. It says, listen to, don't forsake your mother's teaching. Verse 9, they are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. Verse 11, if they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Verse 12, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. Verse 13, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Verse 14, cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set your foot on the paths, on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. Verse 17, how useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. Verse 18, these men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Verse 19, such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. That's a pattern we see of all different types of toxic influences. It always starts with a similar phrase as the Proverbs says here. Come away with us. In other words, give me your attention. Listen to this. The influence, toxic influences in your life always begin with vying for your attention and mine. And then it's follow this path. In other words, this is going to be fun or fulfilling or freeing, something that seems to be a good influence. But as Proverbs 1 shows us, it always ends up being, if it's from the world, deceitful, disparaging, or detaining. The world's promise of freedom always leads to chains. Always. Hebrews 2:1, don't turn there for time's sake, shows us that the influence of false teaching usually causes us to drift away. That word drift implies a subtle shift, almost undetectable, a very slight difference at first, but far from the truth before it's all over. That's what happens with influences in our lives. They start so simple. It seems harmless, but before we know it, we may be very far from the truth or the correctness of God's word. Some of the areas in our life that we have the most toxic drift from, the most influence that comes towards us, there are several in today's generation that did not exist when some of the oldest people in our congregation were coming up in younger years. There are things that we have now, this phenomenon of social media. It has literally taken the world hostage. It has literally taken the world by storm. You look at Facebook alone. This is something, let me ask, it's confession time. It's okay, it's not so bad. How many of you have a Facebook account? Raise your hand. Many, many people in our room. But let me tell you this, if you look at their statistics, Facebook adds 500,000 new accounts every single day. 500,000 a day. There are now 1.7 billion with a B Facebook accounts. There are 7 billion people on the planet. 1.7 billion have a Facebook account. 500,000 added, 1 million every 2 days. Add to that list of growing. Now you may say, well, is that all bad? No, listen, there's some great things there. There are wonderful ways to connect with friends and to be reminded of things and to know what's going on. Our church runs a very active Facebook page where we promote things that are coming and encourage people in different ways, and that's always great. I do the world a service by giving you a public service announcement. What's it about? Christmas, that's right, it's 69 days till Christmas. Listen, 10 weeks from today, friends, it's Christmas Day. We'll be here. Anyway, so I'll give you the running total. I'm doing you a favor. But all kinds of things happen through Facebook. But I can tell you, when you look at the influence that it has, oh my goodness, it is aspiritual. It is just an event. It's not immoral or moral. But if you begin to look at what's placed there and what happens, it does not take long to find yourself in a toxic environment. It happens in conversations that you see back and forth, little replies that people put. We see it in political posts. I have been embarrassed to see, no matter what your political leanings are, embarrassed to see how people treat someone of the other party, or even how when bad words have been used and it's got harsh and really just terrible language that is being posted by even church members. And I think, my goodness, why would we get to that toxic level? Or then I think about what happens. You may say, well, it's much more subtle in this way. Truthfully, the election will all be over in a few weeks. We'll be stuck with results for a long time. But the election will be over in a few weeks, and those posts will continue. But not even something so electrifying or polarizing as that. You just look at people's posts. It is amazing the amount of passive-aggressive typing that takes place. Little shots at people, little thoughts of that. And then there's the false expectation of what reality is. Because what happens is we post a picture of us at our very best instead of posting a picture of what every day looks like. And so others will look at that, and how that becomes toxic is they begin to say, my life is not as good as that life. Listen, that wasn't a life, that was a picture. That wasn't a life, that was a moment, a snapshot in time. It represents 1 second. But we look and we begin this comparison trap, and oh, you can find yourself depressed really quickly. Even more dangerous, you can find yourself being a little deceiving and making things look a little better. How many times have you been somewhere, I have, all joking or jokingly, but seriously too, where we're trying to take a candid picture, but you do it 5 or 6 times to get it right? I mean, you just keep doing it until you get it correct. But Facebook is an influence in our world. It can be toxic, along with any other form of social media. Then there is the internet. We face this today. Listen, I just want to be quick about this. There are over 80 million internet users who look at pornography every single day in North America. That's between the U.S. and Canada and Mexico. 80 million every single day. Now, what happens is people oftentimes end up there on purpose, and sometimes it happens very accidentally. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, there are studies that show that. The most accidental way people end up into pornography and then attached to it are this. It's web pop-up windows. That's 55% of people who view pornography for the first time online do so because something popped up on their screen that they didn't ask for. Then there are 52% of people said that they have at some point had misrepresented links. You click on one thing thinking it's going to be this, and it ends up being something very different. It's just a tool to get you somewhere else. And then 48% of people who were polled said that they ended up on pornographic websites because they misspelled the website they were trying to get to. And how often that's used as a tool of the enemy to buy up every misspelling of that so that you will end up in a wrong place that you not need to be. Auto links and emails. You say, well, why would you tell us all that? The simple idea is this. Evil doesn't sit around waiting to catch you in a snare. Evil hunts you. Let me be clear. Evil will hunt after you. Doesn't just wait to see what you might happen to walk into. So in this day and age, toxic influences are not just waiting. And if you happen to walk down this street, I'll grab a hold of you. No, it is out searching for you. Parents, I don't mean to be overdramatic, but I want to be real. It is searching for your children. It is coming after them. So we must learn how to deal with those toxic influences. Then, listen, there's the one we all know about, the television. Latest Nielsen reports this past year say this: children ages 2 to 11 watch 24 hours of TV per week. Adults watch on an average more than 33 hours per week. That's in the United States, according to Nielsen ratings this past year. TV has an influence on us. And how about our friends? Another great way of influence. Here's what I have found. My polls are unscientific. It's just what I've observed. And here's what I've observed over the years. People will take the advice of their friends over the counsel of God's word over and over again. And that is a shame, because sometimes our friends get it right and sometimes they are not washed in the word of God. But people will take the counsel of friends over and over. I have found that if someone hangs around someone very closely for incredible amounts of time, their spending habits will come to be like theirs. They'll do the things they do, go the places they go, spend the way they spend. That can be good. That can be bad. I'm going to tell you something I've seen firsthand for real, and that is this: the tragedy of divorce and many people that go through difficult circumstance and situation, but and then understand the horror of having to walk through that and see God's healing in their life and all that happens. But every once in a while, you'll find someone that walks through a divorce and comes out very quickly seeming happier than ever. And if you're not careful, you will see friend after friend after friend follow suit right after that. Now, that sounds a little personal, but I'm just telling you, we see over and over we are influenced by those around us. But influence does not have to be bad. In fact, I believe if we want to be rid of toxic influence, the best way, the scripture shows us, is to replace that with godly influence. It's to fight the battle in a godly way, not to even fight it the way the world would encourage us to. So real quickly, let me give us two scripture passages that we're going to focus on now. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you'll turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want to show you a toxic influence and a godly influence in the lives of some of the same people and see what the difference was. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You will recognize the passage very quickly because it was taught to you. If you grew up in church, it was one of the first stories you ever learned. It's been taught often, and there are very few people, whether they're a believer or not, who have not at least heard of this story. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damon between Soko and Azekah. Verse 2, Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill, the Israelites another, with a valley between them. Verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had, verse 5, a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like that of a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Now Goliath, what we've just heard described, was a giant. He was not maybe a giant. He was not really tall like an NBA basketball player. He was a giant. He was a man that was incredibly large, way beyond normal human capabilities, and he was a threat. Look at verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." Verse 11, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So here you have the people of God being represented by the army of God, being led by a man who should know the ways of God, and a giant comes out to defy them and says, "I defy your God, send someone to fight me." And it says here in verse 11, when they heard him, they were dismayed and terrified. If you were to keep reading, and we don't have time, you would find that for 40 days, he comes out every morning, gives the same speech. Your God is not real. Your God is puny. I defy your God. Send someone to fight me man to man. For 40 days in the morning, 40 days at night. In verse 11, it says he was dismayed, that they were dismayed and terrified when they heard it. If you read a few verses later, you will see by the end of 40 days, look what Saul and the Israelite soldiers were doing. It says when he would come out and make his speech, that they would run from him in great fear. You see, the influence that was put upon them over 40 days took them from just being terrified to running. They didn't run at first, but they ran before it was all over. Let me ask you a simple question I've asked before. Did Goliath get any bigger? No. Did their army get any smaller? No. Did God become any weaker? No. But the same influence, that same toxic influence, day after day after day for 40 days, and it seemed as if that giant got much bigger, and it seemed as if their problem did. But Goliath, in my mind, is not the toxic influence. We'll come back to that in a second. If you would like now, if you'll turn real quickly, you're not going to have to go far, to 1 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to show you the rest of the story. Right there in the Old Testament, a couple of books away, 1 Chronicles chapter 20, and I want you to see the rest of the story. Now, the rest of that immediate story is David comes along, and in the power and the presence of God, he defeats Goliath, right? We all know that's what happened. David takes a slingshot, five smooth stones, hits Goliath in the head, Goliath falls down, he takes Goliath's own sword, chops his head off, it's over. Just that quick. And then they go and rout this particular Philistine army. But look at what it says now in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 4. It says, in the course of time, war broke out with the Philistines at Gezer. Again, different battle, same old Philistines, same old enemy of God's people. In the course of time, war broke out with the Philistines at Gezer. At that time, Sibekai, the Hushathite, killed Sipai, one of the descendants of the Raphaites, and the Philistines were subjugated. A lot of names, just follow along there. Verse 5, in another battle with the Philistines, Elhanan, son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Hittite, who had a spear with the shaft like a weaver's rod. Verse 6, in still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. I don't know why it gives us that information, except it's just cool to know. And so he's got 24 in all, and he was a descendant from Rapha, and he was a huge man, a giant as well. Verse 7, when he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. Verse 8, these were the descendants of Rapha and Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. Did you notice that? They're killing giants left and right. They are a giant killing machine. So let me ask you a couple of questions. What's the difference in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 1 Chronicles chapter 20? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, everyone's afraid and defeated. In 1 Chronicles chapter 20, everyone's saying, it's my turn, that one's mine, killing the next giant. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, Saul is king. In 1 Chronicles chapter 20, David is king. It's simple, friends. David was a giant killer. And they followed their leader. Saul was not. If you're writing things down, I would encourage you to write this phrase down. The influence of their leader made the difference. The influence of the leader made the difference. Now, let's talk about you for just a moment. We'll move from the Philistines and the Israelites to you and me. How does your attitude influence your work environment? You may say, well, I'm not a giant killer. Whatever you are, David or Saul, anyone in between, when you go to work, you have an attitude. And your attitude at work influences those around you. I promise you, It does. It doesn't matter if you're the leader or if you're the lowest person on the assembly line. I can assure you, your attitude influences others around you. So my question is, what type of influence do you have? How about this? How does your attitude influence your own productivity in life? Because it does. Someone that feels like they'll never get something done, what are they going to get done? Nothing. Someone who says, I'm going to set out and I'm going to accomplish these tasks, oftentimes they accomplish those tasks. How does your attitude and your actions and your words influence your family? Listen, I assure you, it does. You carry great influence. I find my children picking up habits I have. That's not always good. It's often not good. There are some I'm glad they pick up and some that concern me. The same would be true for you. Your friends are influenced by this. How does your attitude influence this faith family? Because it does. The attitude, I'll be honest, the attitude you bring even into the worship service will influence those sitting near you. It happens. It's the reality of that. It's one of the reasons, if you notice, most of the time, it's surely not for show that I close my eyes when I'm singing up here. The truth is, I don't want to have a bad influence from someone, and I don't want to necessarily be influenced in a good way by others. I want to focus on the Lord. But the reality is, our attitudes even affects our faith family. So the scary part is for you to hear this. You have great influence over other people. The exciting part is for you to hear this. You have great influence over other people. Listen, we can all stop and say, well, how do we deal with the toxic influences, the bad things that come our way? But here's what I've found. They're going to keep coming. If you read the scripture, the negative things of the world are not going to lessen. Tomorrow, Facebook's not going to crash and go away forever. As we move from tomorrow to November 4th, I don't think there's going to be some incredible truce between the Trump and the Clinton campaign and everybody's going to be nice, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya. It's not coming. I don't believe for a moment that you're going to see all the new pornographic websites, and I believe the statistics show somewhere around 2,000 new websites form every single day around the world that are dealing with that. They're not just all going to say, listen, we're done. The TV is not going to make a decision to start putting programming out that is necessarily more family-friendly and that is more inviting for children to watch. It's going to continue to go the other direction. People around you are not automatically going to make changes that are better. We will still have toxic influences all around us. So the reality is when we stop and think about what that means and what the scripture says to do, to put off certain things and to put other things on, that's how we learn. And we understand that when we put on the godly influence, it affects all that's happening around us. So we can wish that everything would just be better, or we can stop and understand that we are aliens and strangers in this land. And that because of that, we have a job and a responsibility. And that is that if nothing else happens tomorrow at work, that people see Jesus in you. That if nothing else happens tonight at your house, that people will see Jesus in you. That if nothing else happens in your workplace or in your environment or at school or wherever it is, among friends, online, on social media, that people can see Jesus in you. Listen, what a joy we have to live that out. So if you were to say, well, what are the steps that I should take to make that happen? Well, I have a couple. First, we start with Jesus. He will be the greatest influence in your life. In fact, you cannot have life without him. The very first song we sang said it's all because of Jesus that we're alive. It's only because of Jesus that we are alive. He has covered us with his blood and raised these dead men and women to new life. Apart from him, it only leads to death. If you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, if you're listening or watching online or listening on the radio, you need Jesus. Surrender to him today. If you're not sure how to do that, we'll help you. God's not trying to hide from you in that regard. Please call, come by, come down in just a moment when we have an invitation. We will talk to you about that. The second thing I would say is this, if you want to rid yourself of toxic influences and it's all about putting the godly influences in, there's an old computer term I can remember from back as a young person. The first computer I was able to ever sit in front of really was probably about I think it was eighth grade, and it was a school that we went to. They offered what they called a little computer class, and we learned a little code so where it could say your name across the screen really big all the way over and over. It was amazing to do. And it was so great to learn that and to see this happen on this huge monochrome screen and how exciting it was for all this to take place and to learn. But what we realized very quickly was you put in one wrong letter, one little letter that's wrong in the code, and it doesn't work. It won't say try again, but you got it mostly right. It just doesn't work. So there's an old computer term, garbage in, garbage out. Friends, it's true. But the opposite is true as well, and I believe it's very scriptural, and that is this: truth in, truth out. Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we place in our heart, that we would, this whole idea of the last song that the choir sang that was so beautiful, show me your ways that I may walk with you. Paraphrase of the Psalms. The very idea that we put the truth in, the truth will come out. So how do we do that? We must commit to God's word. Commit to joining a Bible study. I would encourage you, if you're not in one, we'd love to help you with that. It's a great way to connect and to grow deeper in your walk with Christ. The next, I would say, step that many of us need to take, and this one may be a little controversial for some, but it's choose your friends wisely. You got to choose your friends wisely. I'm not advocating some kind of holy huddle where you just say, only Christian friends, lost people, I can't talk to them anymore. That's not what I mean at all. But you better know the influences that are in your life and know how you're influencing them versus them influencing you. You can end up in trouble quickly, or you can help someone else come out of trouble. So I encourage you to think through wisely relationships and how they work. Next, it's pretty simple. It's a paraphrase of what we see in the scripture. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Guard your eyes. All of those are found in God's word. It's simple truth. Listen, when it comes to social media, Facebook, if you're not familiar, it's got an unfriend button. Call it your detox button. You need to push it, push it. You may need to unfriend someone, at least hide them, but unfriend them. It may be something you need to do to get that toxicness out of your life. Be wise in where you go online and be wise in where you go in person. Just like you would not want your children, there's certain places you wouldn't want your children or your grandchildren to go. You wouldn't send them to a certain place or where certain things are happening. The same is true online, but it's much worse because they can get there and you'll never know they were there. So we must be wise when it comes as adults, when it comes as grandparents, as parents, when it comes just as individuals on our own, set standards even for online viewing. At our house, we don't do it perfectly, but we have some standards and some rules. At our house, with all the technology that's happening, and with three boys and myself and my wife, we don't let any, there's no getting on the internet except in the common rooms of the house, on the first floor. You don't go to your room and do that where you can end up in more trouble. It'd be much easier for me just to grab a look or to see, and I want them to see what I'm on as well, so I try to as well. For me personally, because I don't want to waste time in places that are just sucking the life out of you and time away from things that are important, and I surely don't want to accidentally end up somewhere I shouldn't. My phone, I've got a smartphone, but I don't have internet on it. I'm taking it off. Why? I have plenty of apps to do all the work I need to do. I'm not missing out on anything, but I'm not going to spend my time stuck in that or even having a trap to look at something I don't need to be looking at. So it's not there. You won't find it on my phone. It's just not there. Can't put it on if I want to. I don't even know my password. Somebody else does. I'd never remember it if I did, but that's just the truth. So the reality is that you say, well, Chris, why do that? Listen, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, do not stealthily move the boundary line staked out long ago by your ancestors. Listen, I've got enough wisdom to know I need to lay a line out there and say that if I cross this line, I'm in trouble or I'm wasting valuable resources, time, effort, energy. And so I'm going to stay back here. It'd be real easy just to move the line, move it a little more. But listen, friends, we can't do that. Put that boundary line down. Step back away from it. I would encourage you. I would censor what's on the TV. Not easy. But I would encourage you to. And when it's part of being a godly influence, two more things real quick. Something that I will simply say to you as a phrase I hope you'll remember. I've talked about this story maybe once before, but I would encourage you, when it comes to realizing how to get rid of toxic influence, is for you to be the godly influence. Scripture is pretty clear over and over about that. So when that's the case, to put the good in, I will call it this: pick up a shovel. Say, what do you mean by pick up a shovel? When I visited Africa multiple times, and we've been there for construction projects, and I'm not a construction-minded person, really. Usually I would be teaching something. I don't mind working. I'm just not good at it. But I can be labor that can hold something still for someone and all that. But especially in Ghana, when they find out you're a pastor, they don't want you to do that kind of work. And it's really a crazy system in their mind, but they don't believe you should. As a matter of fact, they want to do all kinds of things for you. It's not a healthy view of ministers, quite frankly, because in some ways they're elevated in status above others, and that's not proper. Shouldn't be the way it is. We're all ministers, by the way, okay, all of us. But the reality is, I can remember sitting there one day, and we had been out working, and there were probably 30 or more people, locals, working on the property, and it was a hot day, and everybody stopped to eat lunch real quick. And it was a very hot day. We were under the little bit of the shade of a palm tree that was there, a coconut tree. We're sitting there. It was time to start back to work, and the gentleman who was in charge said, well, it's time for us to get going again, but these guys probably aren't going to want to start back so quick. They had been working really, really hard. And I had seen over and over, every time I would walk around as a pastor, if I try to pick up a suitcase, someone takes it out of my hand, won't let me carry it. You can argue they won't. If you try to carry a box with books, they'll take it away from you. They won't let you do anything like that. So I jokingly said, I'll get them back to work. He said, how? I said, just watch. So I got up and I picked up a shovel. And when I picked up a shovel, it was like everybody just jumped up and grabbed. They were all going right back to work, taking that out of my hand. And they were back to work just that quick. It's amazing. What I would say to you is I didn't mean to, and I should not have had that kind of influence over them. But the reality is you do have that kind of influence over others. So listen, when you see something that you think that's toxic, it's not good, that person's not handling this correct, this friend of mine is not thinking through this right, pick up a shovel. Be the one who will lead by example. Be the one who will show them how to live that out properly, how to react properly, how to think properly. Point them in many different ways. I look at Shannon right here, who was baptized this morning. He picked up a shovel. He picked up a shovel for others to see that you follow through. When you commit your life to the Lord, we follow through with the scripture and by being baptized, showing a public display of our faith. Listen, that will influence others to say, if he can do that, I can do that. I want to be obedient as well. There are others who step up and do ministry in different ways. They're picking up a shovel. There are others who cut off conversations of gossip and stop them. That's picking up a shovel. There are others who will lead to words of truth and kindness when something negative is being said. That's picking up a shovel. Over and over again, I just encourage you, pick up a shovel. The best way to get rid of toxic influences is to be a godly influence. Would you bow with me? Your head's bowed for just a moment of privacy. What about you? If you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, in just a moment, we're going to sing a song, and I want to invite you to just come quickly and just tell me, I need Jesus. I'll talk with you. We would love to help you with that. Make no mistake, there is nothing else good you can do to remove negative influences in your life that will do near the job of being transformed and made new by Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So if that's you, come quickly. For others, maybe you've given your life to the Lord, but you realize you've never followed through with believers' baptism, so you're going to pick up a shovel today. You're going to start by putting the next step into place to be obedient to do that, so that others will see that Jesus is in your life and you take his commands seriously. It'll influence other things around you. Still others, maybe you've been attending here for a while, maybe you've even been serving, but you've never united with this faith family, and you want to come today and say, today I'm showing that I'm a part of this faith family, that I'm committed to be here, and I want to help serve the kingdom through Albertville FBC. So maybe you'll come and say, today I want to unite with this church. Maybe for you, it's that there's been some garbage coming in, and that's why the garbage is going out. So maybe you want to come and get on your knees for just a moment, just you and the Lord, and just simply make a renewed commitment. Father, I want to remove these toxic things that I keep bringing into my life, and I want to replace them with godly things, with the Word of God, with the systematic study of who you are. Would you come and do that? Maybe you need someone else to pray for you. We'll be glad to at any point. Whatever God is saying to you, I encourage you to be faithful to do what he calls you to do. Father God, please have your way among us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing Near to the Heart of God.